This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, we've got a bunch of stuff all kind of happening at the same time. You've got Americans concerned, very concerned, that our creepy porn president who has unprotected sex with porn stars is now trying to appoint creepy judges to the Supreme Court. Creepy, rapey judges, maybe. We'll see. And, Ken Starr, Robert Mueller looking around and saying, what's going on with this creepy porn president? Let's check in with Ken Starr. He has a new book out. It's called Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. It's not particularly friendly toward the Clintons. He was the chief counsel, the independent counsel, investigating the Clintons from 1994 to 1999. After Robert Fisk said, okay, that's it, Travelgate, Filegate, Vince Foster, nothing here, in came Ken Starr. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
You said a couple of days ago on TV, we don't want investigators and prosecutors out on a fishing expedition. I'm baffled by that, and I'm baffled by your choice to follow, apparently, Brett Kavanaugh's advice to go for the most salacious details. I remember driving down the street back in the day, listening on NPR as they were reading from your report about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky having sex with a cigar in the Oval Office, and thinking, what the hell does this have to do with the governance of the United States? Why did you go down that road?
Yeah, because the president lied under oath, Tom. He lied in the civil deposition, a sexual harassment lawsuit filed in federal court. That's why the book is named Contempt. Bill Clinton is the only president in American history to have been held in contempt. Not even Richard Nixon was held in contempt. And then in terms of the detail, because the President of the United States put us to the task of proving that he had committed perjury, that he had obstructed justice, that he had suborned perjury.
But this was all because you launched this great penis hunt in 1994. Well, actually, it didn't become the great penis hunt until 1997. I mean, you tried over and over and over to take this guy down. You personally reopened the Vince Foster investigation. You know, Travelgate, Filegate, Whitewater. You know, yeah, if he was involved in financial improprieties, with the Whitewater investigation, turns out he just lost money in a stupid investment. But if that had been something that had then been used to, to promote his campaign, as it looks like perhaps we're seeing with Trump and the Russians and all this other kind of stuff, then sure, look into that. But everything you just described, Ken Starr, had to do with a blowjob. I mean, I don't see where that, please name for me, outside of Jimmy Carter, one president in the history of the United States that there's not some documentary evidence that he had an affair while he was in the White House.
Hey, Tom, let me correct a profound misunderstanding on your part. So if you'll give me the floor for about 30 seconds, the Monica Lewinsky investigation was authorized by Janet Reno. Why? Because of, you can characterize it any way you want, but we're talking about ignored, if you will, perjury and subordination of perjury in a federal civil rights case. Janet Reno said, I have a duty under the law. We're talking about law. And the facts that we recounted, unfortunately, they were, of course, unfortunate, but Bill Clinton could have spared us all. You, riding in your car, if he had chosen to tell the truth and not lie under oath and go into contempt. So that's just...
Well, why is it any of our damn business, Ken? I mean, why did the Republicans... You had... Newt Gingrich was boffing Caligula, or Calista, I guess is her name, in the back room while he was married to his second wife while this was going on. Bob Livingston was having an affair literally in his office while this was going on. Bob Barr was having an affair literally in his office while this was going on. And these were the guys who were leading the morality charge against, oh my God, we've got a president who assaults women. And you jumped into it with both feet, and Brett Kavanaugh says, go for the most salacious stuff. And I end up listening to crap about cigars and vaginas in my car. are. I don't want to hear that. I'm reluctant to even say it right now on the radio. I'm just astonished, you know, particularly after, you know, your involvement at Baylor, you know, the allegations that you were covering up sexual crimes at Baylor, that you would even go there.
Just, well, you're a very good characterizer, but you're not dealing with the fundamental legal fact. You've not mentioned Attorney General Janet Reno. You have not mentioned, Tom, the special division of the U.S. Courthouse, who then looked at...
But it wouldn't have gotten there if the Republicans hadn't been launching what I would, you know, I think that Donald Trump would call a witch hunt.
Is this a conversation, or do you want to just continue ranting?
Well, normally in conversations, people interrupt people from time to time. I'm trying to give you, you know, as much time as you need, and go for it.
Well, thank you. Well, you're repeating yourself, and so I'm going to repeat myself. You're using very, very interesting language. I'm not using the language. You're upset by the language. What I'm saying to you, two things. Attorney General Reno authorized the Lewinsky investigation because you refused to use a P word that begins with perjury. You refuse.
No, what I'm saying, no, Ken, what I'm saying is that you're trying to start this entire narrative at that point in time when when the political pressure had come on Janet Reno as the Attorney General, that she had to do something, say something, flip some switch, but that political pressure was the result of a campaign that started in 1992, right after the election, where a bunch of billionaires decided, the Arkansas Project and other things that subsequently came along decided, we've got to take this guy down and we're going to do whatever it takes. And so maybe he was in this bad land deal. Oh, nothing there. Oh, maybe his wife did something wrong at the Rose Law Firm. Oh, nothing there. Oh, maybe it was wrong that he fired some travel agents. Oh, nothing there. Well, what else is there? Oh, my God, this woman had an affair with him in the White House. This is it. We're going to go. You're completely ignoring all that history. History.
Tom, you are rewriting history. Tom, will you please listen? You're on a rant, with all due respect.
That's what I do for a living.
Good. Well, you're very good at it, but you're not very good with the facts. 14 criminal convictions. And if you have read my book, and you're not talking about my book, which is your business, you have a First Amendment right to do
your book is Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation by Ken Starr.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Book, thank you. Yeah, it's very kind. The book is about, and the story is told, and you can reject the story, of how we considered the indictment of Hillary Clinton for perjury and other offenses in connection with the Arkansas phase of the investigation. We also had reason to believe that Bill Clinton lied under oath with respect to the Arkansas phase of the investigation. Right. So we had failed.
Paula Jones, you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the Arkansas
before, phase. Okay, before Paula Jones. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the Whitewater phase of the investigation.
But those charges were dismissed is not the right word, you know, not pursued. Why resurrect them? That was when he was governor.
Before, that's what the appointment was of Robert Fisk and of yours truly. Look into this. And so what we did it professionally. We gathered the facts. We assessed the facts. And we determined, both with Bill and with Hillary, with the president and the first lady, that we did not have sufficient evidence to bring charges. That doesn't mean we didn't find anything. We found lots. We found lots and lots and lots. But we made a professional judgment that we didn't have the evidence to prove their guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. I lay all this out in Contempt. You can ignore it. You can characterize it any way you want to.
Yeah.
That's what you're paid to do.
I get it. So now we've got Donald Trump, who on Air Force One lied to the press and said, you know, I didn't pay any money to that porn star. I didn't have an affair with her. I know nothing about it. And we now know that all of that is untrue. In fact, we have it in his own words. Is he impeachable?
Of course he's impeachable.
Should he be impeached for that?
At this stage, and one of the messages of my book, which you've been kind enough to mention, is don't go there, American people. I think one of the lessons that we learned from the Clinton years is even if a president committed crimes, and lying to the American people
is not a crime. We haven't made that a crime yet. Congress could make it a crime. They have made perjury and obstruction of justice a crime. And no one seriously disagrees with the proposition that I know of, that the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, committed crimes. Now,
the crime of perjury.
Perjury, obstruction of justice. We also included right. In 11.
But he was trying to, I mean, I don't want to justify this. I'm as uncomfortable with that as probably anybody. But, you know, he was trying to cover up an affair from his wife and from the country as well. Lyndon Johnson had affairs. Richard Nixon had affairs. Ronald Reagan, maybe not. Who knows? I mean, he was kind of senile at that point. But he certainly had, you know, had an affair with what's her name, you know, when he was married to his first wife.
Jane Wyman.
Jane Wyman. Name a president who didn't have an affair. I don't, I guess we're relitigating the Clinton thing, but
I know you're coming back to. But here's the short answer: the morality of relationships is for the American people, and even for Congress, to say we're going to impeach by virtue of marital infidelity. That does not happen. What does happen is if a president commits crimes, and that's what's being investigated right now by Bob Mueller. If he committed crimes, I'll bet you we're going to find out about that information. It's going to come to light because we have in this system, as I try to describe in the book, a rule of law system. So you can dismiss things any way you want to on rhetorical, political grounds or just good government, but don't lie. I mean, haven't we seen in the Trump investigation a number of people who pled guilty to lying to the FBI?
Yeah, I'm frankly far more concerned about Trump lying to us that he was going to give us health care insurance that was cheaper than Obamacare. I'm concerned about Trump lying to us that he was going to protect the environment. I'm concerned about Trump lying to us that he was here for the little guy and he was going to bring back jobs. But anyway, that's my rant business. Ken Starr, his new book is called Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. Ken, thanks for dropping by today.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
Good talking with you. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with your thoughts on all of this, plus our creepy porn president, plus what's going on with Kavanaugh. We just did a whole hour on that. Stick around. And welcome back. Let's see here. Who's calling on Free Speech TV? Corky in Rochester, New York. Hey, Corky, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I'm well.
Yeah, if this Kavanaugh gets in there, it's going to be the end of progressive liberals for a decade.
Three decades.
Maybe three. I'm thinking two. But this guy has got no morals, I don't believe. He's a liar, just like Trump. Trump's getting his cronies in there.
He's a toady for the billionaires. That's everything you need to know.
That's enough, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is a wholly owned creature of the Koch network, and he owes his career to them. He's, you know, the Federalist Society made this guy. Federalist Society heavily supported by the Kochs. I'm with you. Corky, thank you. Very, very well said. Let's see here. Karen, watching Free Speech TV in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Hey, Karen, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hello, Tom. Yeah, I'm calling because you're a person of history. Let's look at sexual assault and how it's changed throughout just the last 50 years.
Okay.
You know, if a person in high school, like if it had been me in high school and something happened to me back in the 60s or 70s, and I had tried to say, oh, that person assaulted me, if it were a male or whatever, or whomever, I might have been overlooked because of it.
Well, and if that person hadn't successfully raped you back in the 60s and 70s, and I was around back then, in all probability, people would have shrugged their shoulders. It was not, I mean, the standards have changed considerably in 40 years.
Absolutely. So since 2012, things have changed. So
yep.
If this woman was coming up I don't know, if she were in high school in the 80s, and she tried to accuse someone of having done it. Of course she was going to, or of attempting to. She would have been totally poo-pooed, you know. It's not something that would have been brought up, but she can come forward now and say it. And for one thing, she has a lot of strength in numbers because so many other women have said it.
Yeah.
But even as, you know, an assault between a husband and wife used to be considered, hey, that was perfectly legal. Now it's not. It can be perceived as being a rape.
Right. So, and that's a good example of how the standards and mores of our times have changed in 50 years.
Have changed. Right. So I think the other portion of it is that... something we were going to talk about. You were talking about earlier about a person's personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that if we know that, we don't know, if it's alleged that Brett has difficulties drinking, what's that going to do, even when he was a kid, what's that going to do now? But if he went out and had a couple of drinks and felt kind of rowdy and then went and made a decision on the court.
yeah. Or started making decisions based on his financial interests or his love of gambling or whatever. I mean, you know, yeah. Karen, thank you for the call. And thanks for watching us in Farmington Hills. We'll be right back. We're back. We are back. Excuse me. Oh, my. What a day. Mark in San Diego. Hey, Mark, you wanted to continue our conversation from the first hour about Brett Kavanaugh's alleged sexual assault now that Dr. Lane, is it? Dr. Ford has come out and stood behind her accusations. Go ahead.
Yeah, I keep reminded of the William Wordsworth quote, the child is the father of the man. You know, when I was 17, I would no more think about trying to rape a girl than I would jump off the bridge. I mean, it is relevant. Even though it was 30 years ago, it speaks to this guy's wiring. His mind, there's a screw loose somewhere, and unless he's had years and years of therapy, which I don't see any evidence of, this is who he is. And, you know, honestly, all you need to know about this guy is that picture when father of that kid that was killed in Parkland tried to shake his hand, and he turned around with, he turned away with disgust and disdain on his face. Yeah. This guy has no empathy.
Well, this was the point that I made in the last hour in my opening rant, that I think that temperamentally, and temperament is something we are born with. It's the baseline of our disposition. It has nothing to do with race or religion or culture or even where you're born. It's just, you know, some people are literally, anybody who's a parent knows this. You've watched your own kids from the time they were born until they became adults. Some are shy right from the get-go, all the way through until they're in their 60s and 70s. Some are, you know, very outgoing and gregarious. Some are bullies. Some are, you know, kind of more like victims. I mean, you know, these are temperamental baselines. And when I saw Brett Kavanaugh on TV, and I saw him essentially sneering at Democrats who were trying to ask him questions and talking in a condescending fashion to them. And then I saw him sucking up to Chuck Grassley and just being so unctuous, you know, with Ted Cruz. It suddenly hit me. I know this guy. I've worked with people like this in the media for years. And you find these people in particular in places where there's a small opportunity for a large amount of power or money. You find them in show business and you find them in politics. And you find them at the high levels of corporations. And I refer to that personality type as kiss up, kick down. They suck up to the people who they perceive as having power over them, and they're so gracious and unctuous and everything. And then the people that they don't need are the people that they just consider as objects to be used, which is obviously how Brett Kavanaugh saw this woman or this girl at the time. They just don't give a damn. And it really became clear to me that he's one of these kiss-up, kick-down people. And Mark, I think you've nailed it. This is not part of the behavior that we learn as we grow up. I mean, obviously, the rape part, he, I'm sure he's got that impulse under control. But how does that impulse translate into other areas of his life? I'm not sure, but in all probability, where he might be doing something like this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I mean, you know, putting his hand over her mouth, shoving her down in the bed, turning up the music so people can't hear her scream, that tells you what kind of person he is, I think. It's 34 minutes past the hour. Brett Kavanaugh, first of all, as soon as this allegation came out, Chuck Grassley had a letter from, what, 35 women? 65 women. Thank you, Sean. 65 women who, quote, knew him in high school, although he went to an all-boys prep school, little Mr. Preppy Brett, and saying what a wonderful guy he is. Well, now the news companies have tracked down those 65 women, and only two of them will still go on the record saying, yeah, he was a wonderful guy. 63 of them are like, I'm sorry, no comment. Meanwhile, I printed this out, and Shearer came out and said, you know, you really want all these pages of names? I mean, it's just page after page after page of Yale School graduates who have written an open letter saying that, well, for example, without a doubt, Judge Kavanaugh is a threat to the most vulnerable. He is a threat to many of us, despite the privilege bestowed by our education, simply because of who we are. And many of them are saying that because they are women. And they say he is morally bankrupt. These are Yale Law School, which is, of course, where he went to school, graduates. Stay Informed tweeted something really interesting. There are five sitting senators who were sitting during the Thomas confirmation to the Supreme Court. Shelby, Grassley, Republican Shelby, Republican Grassley, Mitch McConnell, Republican Orrin Hatch, and Democrat Senator Pat Leahy. The only one who voted no on Clarence Thomas, who was also accused of sexual harassment. I'm not sure that it was characterized as assault at the time, but sexual harassment. The only one who voted no was Leahy. All the Republicans voted, yeah, no problem. We're good with Clarence Thomas. It's pretty strange stuff. Tripper in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Tripper, what's up?
Hey, Tom. There's an article in CNN today that puts to rest any arguments about why Ford came forward, and her lawyer is quoted as saying that she actually had a great deal of ambivalence about coming forward, and that she was planning on keeping her allegations confidential.
That's correct.
And that the decision was essentially taking away from her as those allegations were leaked. She didn't come out on her own and say, "Oh, we had to stop Kavanaugh." These were leaked.
That's correct.
And it was only after that she was approached by members of the press that she was like, okay, well, I guess since it's out, I might as well, you know, deal with this.
Yep,
and
true.
And the lawyers quoted as saying she's now going to have to live with the tremendous efforts of people trying to annihilate her, discredit her. She says she's telling the truth. She took a polygraph. She mentioned this in her therapy sessions in 2012.
Yep, amen. She's going to have to live with death threats from right-wing crazies who think that Donald Trump is the Messiah.
This isn't something someone would have chosen to do for a political move. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jeez. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that,
You're
Tripper.
Welcome.
Well said. Jennifer in Oak Creek, Colorado. Hey, Jennifer, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just want to give you some history here. I went to school the same exact time as Brett Kavanaugh. I went to a private all-girls Catholic high school. The private all-girl boys Catholic high school was biased. I was attacked by a group of boys. And I only got away because I'm a fighter. And I've never told anybody. And I just finally told my husband last night. And you know what? It sucks. Pardon me. But this woman, you know, this is why we don't come forward. And back then, you would never come forward. Even if you were raped, you wouldn't come forward. You just wouldn't, because people wouldn't believe you. And it would always be blamed on the girl. Oh, well, she had a drink of beer. Oh, well, it's because of what she wore. I mean, anything to put it off and the blame off of the boy. And these boys that did this to me were boys that I went to the Catholic grammar school with and grew up with.
Yeah.
And it actually started back then. They used to have this National Goose Month where we had to wear shorts always underneath our uniform skirts because they would fling our skirts up and try to goose our butts.
Really?
So,
This was a thing in Catholic school?
Yes. So, and I didn't start until fifth grade. I was in public schools until then.
Uh-huh.
And then this never happened in public schools.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this is crazy. Carolyn, who came out, we're not in a court of law here. We're talking about morality. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to convict him of a crime. So we don't need a beyond a reasonable doubt. This woman is believable 100%.
And yes.
I believe her.
She has absolutely nothing to gain and everything to lose. She tried to share this story anonymously in June with her congresswoman on the assumption or in the hope, I'm guessing, that there might be other women who would corroborate, you know, who would have similar stories, and you could see a trend like we can see, obviously, with the predator-in-chief, Donald Trump. And, you know, apparently no other women have come forward yet. It's been less than a week. You know, same thing with Harvey Weinstein. You know, you had a couple of women come forward, and then, boom, the dam broke. And, you know, so she was hoping that she could stay in the background. And then her name got leaked, and you know, boom, all hell broke loose, and pretty soon she's going to have, you know, Nazis shadowing her house. I mean, that's how bad it is. So she's got nothing to gain from this and everything to lose, and she's got
to
be scared for her life.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. She has no privacy anymore.
Yep. Yep. Well said.
And this is not something that you just get over. And then it's like these other people saying, oh, just get over it. You know, no.
Yeah.
This is very, just like when you were assaulted and your wallet was stolen. That's not something you ever really get over.
Well, I remember it. I don't wake up at the
but
night.
But assault is assault. You
yeah.
know, I mean, this is, it's a scary thing.
Yep.
And I can tell you this. This happened to my best friend who was in the year behind me. And some of the same boys were doing it to her and had did it to her. She wasn't raped, but she was assaulted. I mean, you know, we're talking about our pants pulled down, our top up, bra pushed up to our necks, and a whole group of boys doing this.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, that some of them are still the same.
Yeah, yeah, that's my point about temperament. Jennifer, thank you for the call. Your points are all very, very well taken. Jackie in Chicago. Hey, Jackie, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say, yes, which president has not been accused of having an affair? President Obama. I'm sorry, I had to put that
yeah,
in.
That's right. Thank but, you. I Obama and Carter, I think, are the only two presidents
Carter,
in history.
That's the other one, yes. Carter is the second one.
Yeah.
But my thing is in regards to it, is that I'm listening to women. I was also sexual assaulted, and I have not told anybody. I end up working with women for sexual assault because I knew what I went through, and I'm strong enough to maybe get over it, which is not really over it because every time I talk to a woman, then it helped me to heal. But to hear this woman come on your program and talk about, like, oh, it's 30 years ago or so, I never share it. I never share what I do. I just thought I kind of try to, I know what I'm not sharing, so I know when I'm helping someone else, I said, okay, I went through that. What can I do to help her? But to say the woman is lying without even trying to find out if it's true, I am a little bit baffled. These are women who weren't able to vote or have a voice back in the day, and now we're telling them that they're liars.
Right.
Because some rich guy said it's not so. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm with you. Jackie, thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, spot on. Very well said. Annie in North Carolina. Hey, Annie. Your thoughts?
Hi, Tom. How are you? Good afternoon here in North Carolina.
Thank you.
I
hope the storm is treating you. You haven't been injured by the storm.
No, I'm in the mountains, and
okay.
We made it through. I'm like up in Watauga County, 6 miles from the Tennessee border. I'm a 55 baby. I think you're a 50 baby.
Yeah, 51. I was born in May of 51.
Oh, okay. Well, and I went to Catholic school, and I just wanted to add, you know, our bra straps were always snapped too in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
The boys took through our uniform blouses. But the topic I wanted to talk about is adding to what you were discussing about, you know, people that just think they're privileged and their whole life is, you know, they don't have to account for anything they do. My description is they were teachers' pets in grade school and high school because I went to a Catholic high school also. It was the only co-ed Catholic high school in the greater Cincinnati area when I lived there. And so they were teachers' pets back then, and then they grew up to be office pets. Well, I worked for attorneys from 1974 to 2007, and you know, they and part of my career was with the Department of Justice, and I could tell you stories about the crazy stuff that went on there. Mm. You know, walking around saying Happy Janesville Ray Day when we had, you know, Martin Luther King Day. This is like in 1985 when I started there.
Whoa.
So these people grew up to be office pets. They were teachers' pets. They never got in trouble. The nuns always, always, always sided with the boys a lot of times. Mm. And, you know, that was my experience in Catholic school. And this Kavanaugh, his body language, to me, he looked like, my mother used to say to us when she caught us in a lie, you've got guilt written all over your face. Well,
yeah,
that's what Kavanaugh looked like.
Like when Kamala Harris was questioning him and she said, consider your answer carefully, sir. And
yes.
You could, and he looked like a 10-year-old who'd just gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And
yeah,
and this is my premise that he is a kiss up, kick down personality.
Yes.
He's one of these suck up types.
An office pet.
Yeah, the office pet, the teacher's pet, they're all part of that kiss up, kick down personality, that suck up to power and then crap on everybody below them. Yeah, well said, Annie. Thank you very much for the call. It's 45 minutes past the hour. We're going to check in with Talk Media News in just a minute. Stick around. Well, in just 4 minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be back with more of your calls and the news of the day right after this. And welcome back. Margaret in Aberdeen, Washington, watching on Free Speech TV. Hey, Margaret, what's up?
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for your show. I love it. First of all, I'm a diehard progressive, but I can join hands with Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to do that. And we're talking about, well, they called it back then, I was a victim of date rape at 15 years old. He was a 20-year-old college student, but I never forgot being powerless. But this man called me 15 years later to apologize.
Really?
He asked for forgiveness.
Wow.
And people can change if they admit the guilt. I mean, why do Muslims go to Mecca? Why do Christians go to confession? Why do atheists go to 12 steps? Because they're asking for forgiveness or atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing I wanted to say is, I hate to get into this, but Hillary should release her emails and Trump should release his tax returns and explain why or deny and let the voters decide.
Why do you want to see Hillary's personal emails that have nothing to do with business or nothing to do with government?
Because everyone wants to see Trump's tax returns.
But Trump's tax returns have to do with his behavior.
Do you really want
to see an email between Hillary and Bill Clinton about, you know, what are we going to do for dinner? Or, you know, why are you hitting on that girl next to you?
Because they all need to come clean, because both sides
I'm not buying that. I think Hillary's entitled to have her personal emails, just like every other president has their personal emails private. George W. Bush, all his emails were on a private server. It was gwbush43.com. And five million of those emails are now missing.
I just wish they would come together.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've become friends. You know, I am a diehard progressive. Socialist.
Okay.
And I have met so many nice Trump supporters that we garden together with, and we realize we're all in it together.
So your basic message here, Margaret, is A, Hillary should release her emails, and B, Kavanaugh might have changed, even though he's not asking for forgiveness and he's not even confessing his crime. Am I getting that right?
No, I'm saying he needs to confess his crime.
He confesses his crime that he has lost his ability to be on the Supreme Court?
Yes.
So he's toast one way or the other. What if he doesn't confess his crime?
Then we need to fight him. Fight him.
Yeah.
I am a woman. I know what he will do with Roe versus Wade, and I know what this man will do. And either he comes clean or we deny him.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Margaret, thank you for the call. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV in Aberdeen, Washington. It is, I don't know. It's a tough one because there's just this one single allegation of abuse. It's not like with Harvey Weinstein. I mean, that's when we started taking it really seriously as multiple, and Donald Trump and Bill Cosby, you know, when the third one, the fourth one, the sixth one, the tenth one, when that's, and Bill Clinton for that matter, when they come in like that, then you start saying, we'll be right back. So let's check in with Talk Media News and find out what's going on in the world today. This report brought to you by goatsfortheoldgoat.com and Ellen Ratner's new book, Loving What You Do, Hybrid 2. On the line with us is the old goat herself, Ellen Ratner. Hey,
that's
Ellen,
right.
And I say that lovingly and affectionately.
It's actually very interesting. Today, Planned Parenthood just had a conference call on the Kavanaugh situation and what has come out about them, and what they're really suggesting is that it's like the Anita Hill vote. They are not talking about whether she's trustworthy or not. What they're saying is that the Thursday vote, which is supposed to be scheduled in the Senate on the Kavanaugh nomination, should not happen until there's an independent investigation. Well, I don't know how you investigate something that happened over 30 years ago, but they're saying that it needs to happen. And again, this was put together by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Now,
and there's a broad call right across the Democratic Party, Ellen, to postpone the hearings. And it's not just because of Kavanaugh. You know, if we postpone the hearings, we might be able to get some of that 90% of his documents when he was helping Bush torture and kill people that the Republicans are blocking from view.
Well, they did bring up the documents. That they did do. And they said that it was time that the documents came out and that people had a chance to review them.
Amen.
Okay. Now, Mia Farrow's daughter, she's married to Mr. Allen.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke to the New York Post. She said that Mia Farrow abused her. She was an adopted daughter. Ronan Farrow, who is, of course, a journalist, said that this was not true. So we don't know who to believe, but she did speak to the New York Post today.
Yeah, that family has really had its share of troubles, shall we say.
Thank God I'm not part of that family.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, the Senate tonight, the House is out this week, the Senate is in, and they are going to be voting on the opioid bill tonight. Now, it's very interesting that opioid deaths have actually gone down. There's less people using opioids. However, because of what they are laced with, fentanyl, they are actually causing many more people to engage in them, and not many more people, but the number of people engagement per usage is going up in terms of deaths, and they're very, very concerned about that. So, but there is a vote tonight on that bill. My guess is that anybody who's anybody votes for it.
Yeah, I mean, where this started out was Purdue Pharma pushing OxyContin through doctors to consumers, creating a massive opiate addiction problem. And then as the AMA figured this out and they started dialing back and telling doctors, you'll get in trouble, doctors cut off the prescriptions, and so people were still addicted. They started turning to fentanyl, which is being imported from China into the United States in huge quantities.
And that comes from the U.S. Postal Service sometimes.
That's right. That's right, because there's no inspection. And it's coming in from China, you know, and maybe North Korea, who knows?
Don't care if we're all addicted.
That's right. In fact, they view it as turnabout as fair play for the opium wars of 1898.
Well, you know, it was interesting. When I was in China, it's like they don't forget about World War II and what the Japanese did to them.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that was 70 years ago. I'm not saying that you forget about stuff like that, but I'm saying, do you put it on the front page of your newspaper every day, which they do?
They have not forgotten that the British, you know, maintained the opium addiction of millions and millions of Chinese for 100 years. They fought a war to try to stop the British from selling them addictive drugs. They lost that war and thus lost Hong Kong. And, you know, now they're shipping addictive drugs into the United States. Gee, it's a turnabout is fair play, right? Anyhow.
All right. The United Nations said that screenings will happen now at sea for asylum seekers to Europe. And if they are not approved, then they can be held, they can be sent back, and they will not be allowed to enter Europe.
Interesting.
Okay. Also, the president is saying that he's going to increase China tariffs by $200 billion. That's a B dollars. And what's very interesting about that is that in terms of the tariffs, what we're seeing is that China said that they'll respond to it after the president announces it.
He's announced it. Has he written it? Is there a presidential executive order that makes
it
real?
Not at this point. I haven't seen it. Now, there may be one, but they haven't sent it out.
And previous ones took previous ones took effect 90 days after they were issued. Do you know if this is going to take effect, you know, around Christmas, or is this right now?
I have no idea, because we haven't even seen it, so it depends what he writes.
Okay.
If he writes, you know, when he writes something. Okay, Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. Joe Biden spoke at Human Rights Campaign dinner in Washington this weekend, but Hillary Clinton also wrote about Trump in The Atlantic. Joe Biden went after Trump at the Human Rights Campaign dinner, and Hillary Clinton has written about it, so nobody, the Democrats are not keeping their mouth shut before the midterms.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Time magazine has sold, again, $190 million. It just sold. There's also Sports Illustrated and something else, but that has not sold. This was sold to one couple.
Do we know their politics?
We don't know their politics. They say that they're not going to have their hand in the editorial.
Right. That's what Rupert Murdoch said about Wall Street Journal. Didn't
work
out so well.
We'll see what happens on that front.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. This Labor Day was very successful for websites. Over $2 billion were spent on Labor Day for various kinds of, you know, Amazon, et cetera, things that people buy on the Internet. $2 billion. That's a first on Labor Day.
That's amazing. So you're talking about Labor Day sales.
That's right.
That's amazing. Ellen Ratner with Talk Media News, brought to you by GoatsForTheOldGoat.com and Loving What You Do. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.